I think today we are seeing the results of the relentless oppression that this regime is starting.
That is one of a dozen candidates who have been disqualified from running in a key election in Hong Kong. This is Friday, July 31st, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Ira Melman. Also ahead, you'll hear from artist Ai Weiwei on his thoughts about Beijing's new relationship with Hong Kong. And the United States joins the group of nations sending rockets to Mars. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Hong Kong's government said on Thursday that 12 opposition candidates in an upcoming election for seats in that city's legislature have been disqualified and that more could face a similar decision in the near term. Civic Party Chairman Alan Leong told reporters the government disqualified people it doesn't want to see in the next session of the Legislative Council. Disqualified politician Dennis Kwok added,
"When the national security law was passed, I said that one country, two system is finished. Make no mistake about it. And I think today we are seeing the results of the relentless oppression that this regime is starting. Not only just to take away the basic fundamental rights and freedom that was once enjoyed by all Hong Kong people under the basic law as promised under the Sino-British Joint Declaration, but they are also trying to drive fear and oppression into our hearts. And this, we must not let them succeed."
Prominent pro-democracy activist Joshua Wong confirmed on social media that he was among the 12 disqualified. The government denies there's any political censorship or restriction of the freedom of speech in the matter. Exiled Chinese artist Ai Weiwei said a new security law imposed by Beijing on Hong Kong would have serious consequences for freedom of speech and human rights and could see many people arrested, silenced, or exiled.
"I think Hong Kong just will become another province in China. That means any freedom of speech or human rights condition will be very heavily restricted under Chinese law. So any new ideas or new voice will be crushed. So last drop of water will be the ocean, and they will be really sinking down to the ocean."
An organization called Student Localism, which had disbanded ahead of the national security law taking effect on June 30th, said in a Facebook post that four of its former members had been arrested on secession charges.
"I think what happens in Hong Kong yesterday or today, you know, a few youngsters among 16 to 21 years old, they are just posting some internet post and they're being arrested. Those are just the first drops of the water of a heavy rain. The national security law has been practiced in China for past many, many decades. Under this kind of law, which made sure this authoritarian state can function, and under that function, bring China to this most powerful, one of the most powerful power. I think that is the surviving game Chinese government is playing. But to put it in Hong Kong with such a heavy-handed law, I think many, many people while facing to be either in jail or exiled or to be silenced."
I argue that the move was costing China credibility, including with its international business partners.
"I think it's obviously China had made a mistake at an early stage, and I really think they should admit it, because anybody can make a mistake, but only China cannot afford of admitting this kind of problems. You know, this has been costing them so much of their credibility, and how can international partners or in business can trust them and to think they're dependable. So that really have such heavy cost. I don't know why they don't understand this situation. Just to be transparent, to have a transparency, and to be honest, which is always difficult, not only in China, but still China for hiding up the information or distort those information has been causing a huge problem for the world.
The central government in Beijing imposed the national security law on the semi-autonomous Chinese territory after city leaders were unable to get one passed locally. The move has raised fears that Hong Kong's freedoms and local autonomy are being taken away. China promised Hong Kong would have its own governing and legal systems under a one-country, two-system principle until 2047, or 50 years after Britain handed back its former colony in 1997. China, in justifying the new law, said issues such as separatism are a national security concern and as such fall under its purview. Thank you for joining us on VOA Asia. The total number of COVID-19 cases around the world has now topped the 17 million mark, with nearly 670,000 deaths, and the United States is leading the world in both of those categories. With more than 4.4 million total confirmed cases, the U.S. reached another milestone in the coronavirus pandemic Wednesday when it passed 150,000 deaths, according to data collected by the Johns Hopkins University. Some states, such as California, Florida, and Texas, are breaking their own records weekly or even daily. U.S. health experts say many states reopen businesses and public attractions too soon. They also say a lack of clear guidance and enforcement on the federal level means governors must develop their own public health directives to contain the spread of the coronavirus, which causes COVID-19. The result is restrictions and directives that vary from state to state, including travel limitations for returning residents and non-residents. Other countries are experiencing a surge of new coronavirus cases, chief among them Australia. Here's Phil Mercer.
This is Australia's deadliest day of the pandemic so far. Victoria, the nation's second most populous state, has recorded more than 720 new infections and 13 deaths in the past 24 hours. These are new daily records. Victoria State Premier Daniel Andrews.
I'm saddened to have to report that the total number of people who have died because of this global pandemic in Victoria is now 105. That is 13 additional fatalities. Three men and three women in their 70s, three men and two women in their 80s, and two men in their 90s. We send our condolences, our best wishes, our thoughts and prayers to those families. This will be incredibly challenging.
Specialist teams usually sent to disaster zones overseas are starting work in Victoria's aged care homes, where serious outbreaks have been reported. Australia's Federal Health Minister Greg Hunt has described the assistance teams as the special forces of the medical world. The military is also part of the contact tracing effort, aimed at helping to ensure patients who test positive isolate themselves. The Victorian state capital, Melbourne, was placed into a six-week lockdown for a second time earlier this month. 5 million people are subject to stay-at-home orders. They can leave only for essential tasks, and masks are mandatory when they do so. Residents from Sydney, which has several COVID-19 clusters, will soon be banned from travelling to Queensland. Queensland State Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk.
We declared yesterday Greater Sydney a hotspot that will take effect from 1 a.m. Saturday. That is definitely the right decision that we have made to protect Queensland and Queenslanders' health.
Australia's international borders were closed to foreign travellers in March and are likely to stay shut into next year. Australian citizens returning home face a mandatory 14 days in hotel quarantine. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thank you for being with us on VOA Asia. The Trump administration Wednesday announced an expanded effort to assist local law enforcement in U.S. cities that have seen spikes in violent crime. At the same time, a deal was announced to withdraw federal forces from the city of Portland, Oregon, where protests for racial justice have entered a third month. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti reports on the controversy over sending in federal forces to help police American cities.
More than 60 nights of protests in Portland demanding racial justice. More recently, an additional complaint from the group.
The feds have to get out of town. They've done nothing but escalate.
For days, officers fired tear gas and other devices, hoping to disperse angry protesters at a federal courthouse. The crowd responded by shooting fireworks at the officers.
These here are rubber bullets.
Brian says he collected this non-lethal ammunition after federal officers fired on the protesters.
What they're doing, absolutely against the United States Constitution.
Civil liberty groups have sued to stop federal police actions on American streets. The Constitution does leave policing to cities and states, but federal officials have the authority to protect federal buildings and property, which protesters in Portland have defaced. On Tuesday, U.S. Attorney General William Barr testified before Congress.
Since when is it okay to try to burn down a federal court?
Are we American? Are we American?
For the past week, a line of women known as the Wall of Moms stood between federal officers and protesters. Bev Barnum started the movement through social media and has seen other groups join the effort.
What the protesters are telling us is that we make them feel safer, that having a wall of moms and a wall of dads and a wall of vets makes them feel like their voices can actually be heard.
On Wednesday, some progress was made on a compromise. The Trump administration and the city of Portland agreed that Oregon State Police will take over the protection of federal buildings and that most of the federal officers will leave. But from President Donald Trump, a warning.
We told the governor, we told the mayor, secure your city. If they don't secure their city soon, we have no choice. We're going to have to go in and clean it out.
Run!
In Portland, the departure of federal agents could diffuse the city's most immediate tensions. But demonstrators in cities across America say the quest for racial justice will continue. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News.
This is VOA Asia. NASA aims its new rover to an ancient Martian river delta searching for evidence of past life. VOA's Arash Arabasani brings us The Week in Space.
The United States and China recently dispatched rovers to Mars, while the United Arab Emirates sent an orbiter to the Red Planet, where it is hoped humans one day will tread. For man and machine alike, experts say landing on Mars is the hardest part of the trip.
The period from hitting the atmosphere to getting to the surface has been characterized, depending on the mission, as either the 6 minutes of terror or the 7 minutes of terror.
Stanford University professor Scott Hubbard says those 6 or 7 minutes it takes to go from more than 19,000 kilometers per hour to zero are the riskiest.
In terms of where the risk factors are, where you could lose this mission, that is an area that is, of all the risk factors, the one that you look at the most closely, because it's the one that has failed missions in the past.
The casualty rate for Mars missions tops 50%. NASA chose the Red Planet's Jezero crater over 60 other potential landing sites for its Perseverance rover. Dr. Bethany Ellman explains why.
This is a great place to explore ancient habitats. It's a great place to look for life. And as added bonus, just outside the rim of Jezero crater are some of the oldest, best exposed rocks on Mars from a time period even 1 billion years earlier.
The craft should reach Mars in February, along with the Chinese and UAE missions, after 7 months in transit over 480 million kilometers. Arash Arabasani, VOA News, Washington.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. It includes Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Ira Melman in Washington. Enjoy the day ahead.